Chatterton Radio.
Well, what will it take to keep each and every woman safe? It's the story of my next guest who's joining me right now. Sadhna is joining us now, and Sadhna smiles, and we're talking about domestic violence, which is completely, seemingly out of control. Sadhna, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a very frightening situation. It's all very easy for us, well, me particularly, to sit in an armchair and say, what do we do about it? You are somebody that's acting on this, and I'm just wondering what sort of incited you to become involved as much as this?
Yeah, it is a terrible epidemic, I think, we're having in our country at the moment. And in 2013, I got involved at a corporate level with our businesses, and in a walk, call, walk a mile in their shoes. And we did it because one of our franchisees' wife was murdered here in Australia, in Melbourne. And so it became quite a personal issue for our brand and for our people. Yeah. And as I discovered upon the research of this issue of domestic violence, you know, going back to 2013, one woman a week was being killed in Australia. That number hasn't changed. And it made me want to make a difference in this space.
Well, it's not just yourself that should be acting on this, because you have pointed out a few areas that the government stepped in and really made some changes. I'll leave it up to you to remind people what happened back then, you know, with the Port Arthur situation and the AIDS epidemic. What happened there?
Well, I was thinking about this a couple of months ago, and then when the beautiful girl Aya was killed in Melbourne about a month or so ago, you start to ask the question, what is it going to take to make a change in this? And when you look at some of the dreadful things that earlier, and Martin Bryant killed 39 people in Port Arthur, and John Howard, who was the Prime Minister at the time, immediately, you know, very courageously stood up, made that fabulous speech, and it brought in gun control. And yeah. I think that one act stopped maybe potential many massacres in this country. The same thing happened around when you look at the car toll that we have, the death toll that we have on the road, same thing happened there. You go back even further, the AIDS toll, you know, the Grim Reaper came about. So when you look at the number of women that are being killed a year in this country, and when you add it up as a total, it is horrendous. Why is the government not taking the same stand around this issue?
Have you got any ideas as to how they should do this?
Well, we support White Ribbon Schools Program. So White Ribbon is an organisation about men's campaign to stop domestic violence. Yeah. And they have a product that they put out into schools called the Respectful Relationships Program. It teaches kids about having respectful relationships, but importantly, how to deal with this situation. Now, my question is perhaps we can't change the current generation or the adult male we work with today, but what are we doing to change the future generations? And I don't believe it should be the responsibility of not-for-profit organisations or for corporations like ourselves that support those not-for-profit organisations. Yeah. That education should come out at government level.
So we need a lot more of these education programs in schools. It's interesting, Sadhna, I was talking to our former police commissioner, Carlo Callaghan, the other day about the fact I was going to be talking to you today. And he was talking about, I've often wondered why it is that, and I'm generalising here, so many men have so much anger in them. You see it so often with road rage as well. I know women have their times, don't get me wrong, but men, I don't know what, I've seen it so often. There's this anger. And he sort of said, well, the generation that today perhaps are coming out with anger and just, you know, domestic violence goes back maybe when they were children. Their fathers were in control, really, of the family. Mm. Their mothers didn't work. So men now today may feel, from fathers that were, you know, in control, the men of those families are feeling that they should still be in control without any thought of change, and the frustration builds up. I just don't know where it all comes from.
Yeah, and I think we've got to also look at other issues as well. Yes, I agree there's that issue, but there's also the issue of, you know, are the sentences harsh enough?
Yeah.
Is the probation, you know, when they come up for parole, are we looking at the right things? Are we, you know, when we know that someone has committed a crime, whether it's a crime of rape, whether it's a crime of, you know, personally attacking someone, is that person going to escalate in their behaviour? Mm. What's the mental health support that we provide? Because when you look at the type of people who have done these crimes, they quite often do have mental issues. So where is the support around some of those areas to actually make sure that people don't go back out in the streets, or they are given help, or the parole system works in a way that protects other people, as opposed to, you know, I think there's a lot more than just us having a look at our parents as such, you know, and I'm a big believer that men need to stand up and call it out. You know, there was a case here in Melbourne not so long ago where four men got on a train and they basically harassed a young girl, and when she didn't actively participate in their harassment and engage, they started to abuse her and call her names. Now, these four men were with a 10-year-old child. So what message did you send the child? They have wives at home. But what I found even more interesting was that nobody in the train stood up to help this girl.
That's the scary part. That really is absolutely disgusting and frightening that that is the case. People don't want to be involved. It's always been a human failing, I think, but they don't want to get hurt themselves. And they're very confronting. It's a pack mentality when that when it happens, something like that happens. It's I don't know. I just, you're right, penalties definitely have to be strong. There's no two ways about it. Domestic violence has been around since day began, you know, and it was never talked about. I mean, the police never used to even attend the homes of reported domestic violence. So I let them sort it out. You know, it was, it's horrific, isn't it, the attitude that we used to have about it.
And it's only been recent that it's being reported in the way that it has. And I think we almost need to have a campaign where it's the preventative reporting. You know, so at the moment we wait until we have someone who's been taken from us horrifically. We then have a vigil and we have this outpouring of grief and outpouring of anger. And a week later everything goes back to normal.
Then
we wait. We wait for the next person to get murdered.
How then do we intrude in people's lives, if you, for the want of a better term, I suppose, if you are suspicious of a friend or a workmate that is perhaps at the other end of domestic violence, doesn't know how to escape it? You know, the women have got to know how to escape it, don't they?
They have to know how to escape it. And I have had people who've worked in my business. I know people personally who have approached me asking for help because of the work that I do around this arena. And women are genuinely, they are scared. They're scared for their lives. They are scared for their children's lives. They are financially not independent enough to actually leave their partners. And then you add all the cultural layers sometimes with from ethnic backgrounds of what will the family say. This is not what we do in our culture and society. So it's not as easy when people say, she should leave.
That's right.
Actually isn't that easy. And I think we have to focus on providing some level of support for these women to make it maybe somehow easier for them to make that decision.
You see, I've always thought that there were organisations where when the woman has made the mind up that that has to happen, and so secretly she would go to a group and ask them how to, she can plan her move without the perpetrator realising that that was going to be the case, so the fear factor might be taken out of it. Surely there are people or groups out there that can do that, to plan some emergency accommodation, perhaps some sort of an income for them, childcare, that sort of thing.
There is. I don't know how many they are. I don't know what their funding is like.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, I think about it. If I got myself caught into a situation like that, or you did, would you know who to ring?
No, that's what I'm getting at. That should be publicised. You're right. This is where the government should step in and make it very clear right across the board in the media.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a preventative opportunity that we have at the moment to actually start talking about this, to start publicising some of this, funding it, as opposed to just waiting on the other end until we've got them in jail and let's keep them there forever kind of stuff. That's not going to work either.
No, it's absolutely not. It's horrific. It's like a war zone out there. It's absolutely disgusting. These poor children seeing this happen in their homes, and the fear and the trepidation of the future is just absolutely skin crawling. It really is. What do people need to do then to approach the government to step up and do something about this immediately?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we can start at your local government. I can think you can start at your local representation. That, you know, we've got elections coming up next year. I think this is an opportunity for us to really start demanding that our politicians start paying attention to this. I think we have an opportunity at a corporate level for people to actually say, you know what, we are going to collectively make a stand around this issue. We are going to fund, you know, schools programs, education programs. I think men can stand up and call out other men behaviours. There's a whole range of, I think, things we can do. But more importantly, I think we've got an election coming up next year.
Yeah.
Now is the time for us to start putting pressure on our local, you know, representation, politicians to say, you need to come out with a policy that is about prevention and education across the country.
And there are so many good men out there that really we would love them to stand up and say to somebody that's inappropriate with their behaviour, to say, mate, that's not enough. That's it.
You're right. And the good thing is there are more good men out there than not, right? But isn't there a song, where have all the good men gone? It's like we need their voices. We need their voices to stand with us, to ask the same questions and demand the same things that we are.
If men want to show their masculinity, if the good men stand up for women, they are showing a protective nature to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is the best way that they can show it. You don't need to get into a fight. You don't need to be physical around it.
No.
You just need to stand with us on this matter.
It could be your sister. It could be your daughter that marries into it. It could be your mother. And that's exactly what has to happen. You're a brave lady, and thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you, Sadhana. Sadhana Smiles there.